The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and the big dog is back in the house, and he didn't miss a damn thing. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart has returned. Aaron Rabel to Voldemort, you want to get in today? 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, you know the number for that. And it's a Thursday, we're back to normal. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you? I've been away from the internet for the past week, so fill me in. Has anything big happened?
No, it's been really
okay,
quiet.
Okay, real quiet. Yeah. I figured as much. I knew you guys have been... It's slow times. Summertime in radio. I mean, there's not a lot to talk about. That's pretty typical, so...
It's typical of most years, but in the Roniverse, it's even worse.
Yeah, I knew that we would be... I wouldn't miss out on anything by being gone, so thank goodness for that, because I would have hated to miss some... really massive story happening and not been on the air to discuss it every single day for hours and hours on end. Here we go.
We have tried to balance it. And
it's hard to.
It is, yeah, because obviously every day there's something that you have to deal with. And we've talked about that a lot. And then we've also steered it away at times but whenever there's something relevant, I think we dove into it pretty well, and it really started Monday, because Friday we still just didn't have enough information other than, what the hell, we got another one of these? And as everything starts coming out, Monday, Jerry and I talked about it for pretty much the first hour of the show, and then mixed it up, but came back to it a few times. And then we had Jerome Tuesday, and he got into it, and we talked about it a lot with Jermaine yesterday. So everybody, I mean, we've talked a lot about it, but obviously people are going to want to hear your thoughts, so we're going to have to talk about it today.
Yeah, we probably will talk a little about it today. I mean, as obviously there's still not a lot of sports to talk about. That's some things don't change.
Yeah, well, there's sports guys to talk about. They can't keep their damn mouth shut.
Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, and one of the funniest tweets I saw was... Who would have saw this coming? Coronavirus blows a 28-3 lead to racism. I mean, it was... Hey, that's very fitting for this town, but it's almost like coronavirus is an afterthought all of a sudden, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because...
Explain to me what's happening with your headset right now.
Well, because Aaron rushed me into this, I'm like throwing stuff on real quick to get ready for the show.
It looks like you've got a chin strap
now. Yeah, it's tied up. I have to... I mean, on the break, I'll fix it.
I mean, you guys had like a 4 or 5 minute conversation with Josh and Rich during changeover.
I think Fred was trying not to make eye contact with Rich. Fred and Rich, I think, have beef.
I wouldn't say beef. I just, I really don't know Rich.
Okay.
And I've only interacted with him a few times, and he wasn't really very friendly. So I'm a friendly person. If you're not friendly with me, then I don't really have much use for it.
Okay.
So.
But Fred was very quiet during that time.
Yeah.
Josh was doing most of the talking.
That's always the case, though.
As is typical.
Yeah, Josh, you were pretty quiet, too. Don't put it all on me.
You try to fit a word in with Josh. Yeah. That's all you can do.
It was all Josh.
We tried to cram with our having the shortest breaks in all of Houston radio. All of a sudden, I had to start throwing things in of, oh, crap, they don't even have headphones on. Oh, crap, Josh is still in there. Oh, God, Josh is still talking. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to go in there and give him these rundowns to try to get him to shuffle out.
Well... He shuffled out, and here we are.
Yeah, it finally worked.
Yeah.
I guess I should have just done that at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
that's probably the move.
Yeah. It's all good now. It's been fixed. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I have nothing against the guy. I'm just not really friends.
Okay.
So that's,
I think this is the first time I've ever been in this, outside of the Super Bowl, yeah. when you're in a giant room. But this is the first time I've ever like said words to him directly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he reached out a little bit after what happened at 610, and I put him in touch with Craig Larson and some people like that. But yeah, and John McClane swears by him, says he's a great guy. So John carries his words generally mean a lot to me. So I'm sure he's a great guy. We've just never actually hung out or chatted.
All right.
And when we did, I was just kind of like, wow, this guy doesn't really like me for no reason. So,
well, lots of positive reaction to Josh and Rich's show today.
Yeah.
You know, I get plenty of, I can't believe you have this idiot on. You know, I get those tweets pretty regularly. But a lot of people glad to hear Josh and Rich back together. So, more positive than negative tweets about Josh's show today. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, and when you've been gone, there's a lot more positive than there is negative, at least what I've been seeing from the text line and things like that. Yeah, there's always somebody who just, you know, they're not gonna like him because he's Josh, and that's I get that, but I think he's done a good job.
I've also noticed that the latest victim of COVID-19 is our air conditioning. Yeah. It is 1 million degrees in this studio, and so clearly
it's been that way for an entire week.
Oh.
So you go turn it on, and you know what happens? It's going to be down to 20 in like 5 minutes.
That's your options.
Yeah. So.
Well, it worked the other day when you started having basically an asthma attack on air.
Yeah, yeah, because whatever it was that was in there, I suddenly start, it gets into my lungs, I start coughing and can barely breathe, and I'm like, yeah, it really does have the freaking Rona.
Uh-oh.
But, no, this thing is never going to, it's going to be the same as long as we do this show. And I've tried what he just did, which is adjust the thermostat. Well, they always have it cranked up to 85. That thermostat is always on 85. And whoever's doing that, you know, hey, your program director, you need to shame them. Hey, man, fuck that. Yeah. Or remove them. So how was your trip? We'll get to the important stuff later. We got plenty of time.
It was so great. And honestly, it was good. I think it was a good thing for me to be gone throughout this because sometimes... as much as I like to be involved in social media, sometimes it becomes like, yeah, and I've told you this before, if I didn't have this job, I wouldn't have Twitter. It's a gift and a curse because I love to interact with people, but I also hate that people will hate you for having an opinion, which is, it's just such an odd thing to me. It was a good week for me to not be on there because I don't think it would have gone well for me. I did get a tweet from one guy who said, I've been listening for 10 years. I'm not listening anymore because I went to a graduation and there was hardly anybody wearing masks and I was tired of you guys pushing masks, so I'm done listening. To which I said, okay, that's a really weird reason to stop listening to a show because I don't care. I mean, if you don't wear a mask, it's not like I'm like calling you out in a crowd, you know? Not like I'm pointing at people not wearing masks and saying, hey, where's your mask? Like, that's fine. It's on you. It's my opinion, and that's just a weird thing to stop listening to a program over. But if that's what it's come to, then, you know, you'll be missed.
What I've noticed, and it obviously got heightened last week, is people are already emotional and cranky over the whole Rona thing. And the fact that they've lost their jobs and the fact that, you know, we've destroyed our economy and a lot of people haven't actually seen anyone with it and they think it's a myth and all this stuff. And so they get tired of hearing about it. And then everything that happened in the past week has just ramped it up to another level, because anytime anybody says anything, it's you suck and I hope you die and I'm out.
Yeah.
And that's it. And Twitter has gotten so bad that I'm honestly at the point where I may just take 2 weeks off and just not deal with it unless I'm on the show.
Well, and this obviously is a touchier subject than most. I won't say, like, to me, if you are, you know, if you think that there is a right side of what happened and a wrong side of what happened with George Floyd, then I don't want you to follow me. So if Like, if you condone, if you're a racist, I don't want you to follow me. I really don't. I'm not sad to say it. Like, I won't be sad if you unfollow me. And in fact, if you just tweet me and let me know you're a racist, I'll block you. And it'll make my life better and it'll make your life better because you won't have to see me, you know, interact with you because you're racist, because I won't say nice things. So, but I feel like very few people, that's the great thing about, well, that's the worst thing about racism, really, is very few people will come out and just say, you know, the reason why I'm on this side is because I'm racist. No one just, they don't just come out in the open and say it. It's like an undercover operation. It would be a lot easier if there was just some, they had to wear some sort of a hat or something, like a red hat or you know what it said, racist, big bold green letters, and you could pick them out of a crowd. But that's not how the world works. And by the way, when I said red hat, that's not the joke I was trying to make. That's not what I was trying to imply.
That's where I thought you were going with.
No, it's not, because that's not what I'm trying to do.
Make racism great again.
No, that's not what I'm looking for. But I what I do think there are people on both sides of is like the people who think, well, cops have a very difficult job. And I come from a family where, I mean, my cousin is a state trooper. My grandfather was a sheriff here in Texas and a police commissioner. So I do respect what police do. I also think that that police in this country, it's gotten so crazy that we got to go to a break, right?
Listen, you got plenty of time to do this today.
Yeah,
because I've been talking about it for 3 days now. And I know there's a lot to catch up on, so let's just go to break. And when we come back, you can go as long as you want. It's your show, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah. So Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Pro Dunk Hoops. That's one thing. I will say the cabin that we stay out on the river, there is a basketball goal. It is not a Pro Dunk Hoops goal. So my son and my cousin's son teamed up for some two-on-two against some other kids, and my son was constantly bitching and complaining about the crooked rim and how the backboard was kind of off center, like the rim wasn't exactly in the center of the square. So he's spoiled now because he's got a Pro Dunk Hoops goal. And if you want the best goal on the market, it's the only thing you can get. The thickest steel of any goal on the market, a backboard that if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. And guess what? The rim is right in the center, right where it's supposed to be. But can you imagine that? Adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with a turn of a handle so any age can play. And they've got something to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've even got a fully portable version. 281-351-9822 or check it out online at produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And I do want to take a second to thank everybody who filled in while A.J. was gone. We had some really good co-hosts. We had a lot of guests drop in. Last Friday, we actually talked rocket launches. And that was pretty cool. Thanks to Aaron. Talked about the SpaceX launch. And then
Delayed launch.
Well, it didn't get delayed Saturday, though.
It was already 2 days late by that point.
It doesn't matter. The fact they actually pulled it off was a big deal. And then we had Jake Kaplan from The Athletic on Monday to talk a little bit about Astros and what baseball might do. And he wrote a Tombstone article, which it's now been 15 years since that thing, and nobody will let it die. But he was really good. And Pete Creighton sat in for a couple of segments. Jerome dropped by. Holly came by for a couple segments yesterday, and we got to make fun of her, which was always fun. So I appreciate everybody filling in, and we muddled through, and now we got the big dog back.
Well, it's good to be back. It was not, trust me, it was nice to be gone. But it's good to be back.
Well, it's the thing I mentioned on Monday that I really felt bad about is, like, Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting in the bar with a bunch of friends just playing poker on my phone, getting drunk, and less than a half mile away, the entire city is protesting. And it's just, oh, you can see the helicopters, cool. And I kind of felt like, you know what, man, I always sit here in my own little world and not worry about stuff. And, you know, it's kind of stupid. It really is, because, yeah, and there's a lot of people say, well, you know, where were you before? Well, you know what, if people show up now, maybe it's time.
I think I will say this, and honestly, and again, Twitter is not the be-all, end-all. It's not. I think Twitter's sort of a phony gauge of what's really happening in the world, because there's a lot of people who will say things on Twitter behind some alias, or, you know, very few people are genuine on Twitter, I believe. And a lot of people who actually have real thoughts in their head aren't on Twitter, and they're not there to share their thoughts on Twitter. So I don't think that it's a pure representation, but it does feel like, and really it almost feels like for the first time, that there's maybe some hearts changing on race matters in our country. And I think, like, for instance, my brother-in-law is about as hardcore a Republican as you will find. I mean, he is born and raised in rural Illinois, now lives in rural Texas, sends his kids to a private Catholic school. Like, he's as right-wing as right can get. And we had some discussions about this, and he's like, you know, and I thought he was going to – I thought he would do what he typically would do and, like, make an excuse for why this was justified or whatever. And he's like, you know, this is my impersonation of my brother-in-law. You know, from all accounts, man, looks like that's pretty messed up situation that happened there. Pretty messed up. And, like, you know, and I don't know if how he feels really, because just like Twitter, I don't know if he's telling me the truth or what, but it does feel like, at least through social media, it feels like there's a lot of people who are softening their stance and realize, like, for the longest time, like, the Black Lives Matter was, like, people were terrified to say it. And I think people are now starting to see that, because the typical white privilege response to, and this is another thing that me and my brother-in-law got into, if you don't believe that white privilege exists, we're not ready to have a conversation. That's another part of the issue. Like, if you don't think white people in this country are treated differently than black people, we're starting off on uneven ground. It's almost impossible to have a real conversation with someone who doesn't believe in that. But what I'm saying is, people are starting to realize now that while, yes, all lives matter, not all lives are in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I saw someone, and I don't know who it was, honestly. I would love to give them credit. And there's been before there's a Bible verse about, you know, the 99 sheep and the one sheep who's lost, and the sheep herder, the shepherd goes to find that sheep, and he's leaving all the other 99, but he's got to take care of this one, not because it's special, because it's the one at risk. And saying it, but I saw one, you know, over, or actually maybe on my drive in today, that says all lives matter, like all houses matter, like everybody's house matters, but the fire department only goes to the house that's on fire. So to them at that moment, that's the house that matters. And it's pretty clear in this country that there's a problem with, I mean, for black people. I mean, there's no denying it anymore. I don't feel like, and again, if you disagree, that's fine. I just think you're really, really off, you don't get far enough outside your bubble, because it's safe there,
right,
to understand it. But it's clear that there is a system that is designed to favor white Americans. And it's funny, because, like, you don't even, it's hard to say, if white people got treated like this, I'd feel this kind of way. because it's so rare. And you see these videos of like cops coming up to people with their, like black guys with their hands in the air, you know, quiet, and they kick them in the back to knock them down. Like, I can't even imagine that happening to me. And I, trust me, I'm the mouthiest dude. I've been arrested a few times. Every time I've been arrested, I've been the mouthiest dude you will ever see, because I know what's happening to me anyway. They're going to take me to jail. I'm going to make sure I get mine in before I go to jail. Like, these are dudes who are quiet, saying nothing, and they're getting beat up. I mean, it's unimaginable to me. And that's what makes me realize that there's a difference. There's a difference in what I experience and what other people experience. And, you know, everybody wants to say, well, all lives matter, all lives. Like, just shut up and listen for a little bit. Shut up and let somebody else tell them how their story is, and maybe you'll learn something. The problem is, we hear this Black Lives Matter, and white people are scared suddenly that we are not as valuable, we're not as important, we're not the priority. And that's not the case. What they're trying to say is, just Black Lives Matter, you need to listen and get a different perspective, because a lot of white people don't see it. They don't see it, or they you know, they assume because they saw in, you know, 1990s LA riots coverage that all black people are bad, or they're all troublemakers, and they're getting what they the crack epidemic, they're slinging crack. It's so simple minded, but I didn't realize this, but there's just a lot of white people who don't interact regularly with black people and don't get it. And there was a guy, I was in basic training with a guy who was really being around black people for the first time in his entire life. He just never experienced being around black guys from Idaho or someplace like that, where I guess there's no black guys, or at least then there wasn't any black guys in Idaho. But he basically had what the movies tell you, perspective of what black guys are. And it was just eye-opening for him to be around actual black guys and realize that, oh, they're just like me. And some of the black dudes are just as country as his country Idaho ass was. Yeah. There's a lot of people, even in this city, which is one of the, if not the most diverse city in the country, who still, their day-to-day interactions with black people are very limited. Specifically, like, I'm not talking about like, oh, well, there's a black guy who works at, you know, the club that I go to, or what. I'm talking about like social interaction with black people. And, you know, that street kind of goes both ways, because I know a lot of black people who their circle of friends, probably 90% black. You know, I'm really close friends, and you guys both know I'm Syed, Palestinian kid. And I'm pretty sure I'm his only white friend, that like, because he's got a group of Middle Eastern kids and a lot of it is that's where you feel safe. And white people have the same thing. White people, I think, feel safe in their white people bubble, and they don't realize what it's like inside someone else's bubble, because they rarely delve into that. And I, you know what? I'm glad that you had Jason Braddock on, and it wasn't planned like this. Jason and Jermaine and Jerome, like the fact that, you know, that we have these guys who, and not that Jason is black, by the way, that's not what I'm saying, but Jason is inside, Jason has black kids, so he sees both sides of the bubble, you know, and I guarantee you Jason has a better idea of how he gets treated versus how his kids get treated. I guarantee you there is no better person that we could have had on while I was gone than Jason, because he sees it.
Yeah.
And even I don't see it really, because I can't put myself in those shoes, in that position.
There's a lot to follow up on here, but one thing, and this is not an excuse, but this is something that I think a lot of people have dealt with. It's a lot of people grew up in inherently racist families and were exposed to that and weren't exposed to other cultures. And an example was my great-grandfather, who basically kicked my dad out of his house because he thought he was black and never allowed him back in the house. And yet the people I grew up with in that family, you know, they all thought the same thing for the longest time. But then you get to know people. Hey, man, your dad's pretty cool. Yeah, he is. And you spend time around people and you realize, hey, we have a lot in common, man. You know, we all kind of want the same things. I understand your perspective a little more. And I think that's part of the problem is that there are people who are isolated in all races, too. It's not just a white thing.
Yeah.
That stay within their races. And, you know, we used to joke with Jong all the time about, you know, all his friends are Asian. And, yeah. And that's common. But until we start understanding a little bit each other a little bit better, and maybe it's because I basically grew up without a race. I mean, I passed for white, but right. I didn't have that group. And so I never really gravitated to that. But I sure understand that. Yeah, but I've seen people change. I've seen racist people change their opinions when they get to know other people and start to understand their culture and where they came from. So it can be done. And that's what I'd like to see happen.
And this person says white privilege is a myth. There are individual privileges. For every white person that's privileged, there are white people who are not privileged. Same can be said for every race in America. You're missing out on what white privilege is. The way that not every white person is privileged compared to other white people, certainly. But the bottom of the barrel white person, the way he would be treated in this country versus the bottom of the barrel, you know, socioeconomic black person is very different. It's very different. I'm telling you, and if you don't believe that you can think it's a myth all you want, you're wrong. Or you live somewhere where you just don't get it. Or you were just raised to think that's not true. And that's, you know, I think what you're saying is true, Fred. There's a lot of people who... It's racism is often just passed down generation to generation.
It is.
And unless you like go out of your way to break this cycle, it's going to keep getting passed down. You know, I don't know if and honestly, I doubt very seriously it ever goes away altogether. But dude, I mean, it's we've got to get over this. Like it doesn't matter. Like if everybody, that's the other thing. Who's opposed to black people being treated the same as white people? Is anyone really opposed to that? If you are, raise your hand. Tweet me so I can block you because I'll know. I will know. All right. Warrior Dave's waiting.
Yeah, we gotta go to break. There's a lot more to get to. And, you know, hey, it's like I said, you've been gone a week. We got to get you caught up. So let's go to my man, Lawyer Dave, because while you were gone, Lawyer Dave was out winning for the Blitzers, which is what he always does. What's going on, Dave?
Well, I appreciate the passion you guys bring to this issue. I think that's just highly commendable. But Blitzers, I'm not here to talk about that. That's for the airtime professionals. I'm here to talk about me, Houston-based Lawyer Dave, David Mestemaker. I've been doing this 31 years, helping people to get hurt in all kinds of accidents in any kind of a place. That's what I do. If you've been hurt in any kind of an accident, industrial, automotive, trip and fall, medical malpractice, give me a call at 713-626-8900.
Yeah, and whatever it is, maybe it's you slipped at the office or something like that and they don't want to pay for it. Well, and you need to go to a doctor, what's going to happen?
That's the thing. A lot of people get hurt and then they don't have any kind of insurance that'll cover their injuries. So they call me and they say, Lawyer Dave, can you get me to a doctor without any money out of my pocket up front? And I'm like, sure. We'll even get you a ride if you need a ride to the doctor. That way the people can get the medical help they need, specialists on down to generalists, without any money out of their pocket up front. They get better. We take it to court. We do our best to kick somebody's ass.
And you do a good job of it. Tell them how to get in touch with you.
You can hit me up at 713-626-8900 or lawyerdave.com or tweet me at lawyerdavelaw.
Yeah, and you can always just hit me up and I'll put you in touch with them. People do that all the time. And if they need a lawyer, what do?
They better dial Dave.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us, and we want to celebrate athletic achievement right here at home. ESPN 97.5 is honoring a local athlete whose senior season was cut short due to the COVID-19 health crisis. Tweet at ESPN 97.5 with the hashtag HoustonESPY before June 9th to nominate and say why that senior high school or college athlete is deserving of the Houston Honorary ESPY. We'll share our final five nominees and announce our Houston Honorary ESPY winner on Tuesday, June 9th during the greatest show in the history of the known universe, The Blitz. Join us in celebrating local senior high school and college athletes. And just one follow-up, and I don't want to sound like I'm defending anybody here, but I also get that there are a lot of white people who are extremely poor, who are like, and I think the blame comes in there. Why do people care about them and not us? And hey, and we had a guy call yesterday. He had some really good points. Anybody else said, oh, we got to remember this is still a great country. It's a great country for me. It's a great country for you. And part of that's financial. A lot of it's race. Part of it is financial. But the reality is it's great for us. We need to make it great for everybody, you know, and not just great, but let's get past where a guy can be on tape getting murdered for 8 minutes and nobody does a damn thing. If that doesn't wake us up, if that doesn't open our eyes, then we got a real problem here. It ain't going to happen, man.
I've got to get off. You've warned me about this before.
Yes.
I can't read the text line. Yeah, the text line, that's the other thing. It's where people can just say things without repercussions.
Anonymity.
Yeah, because no one knows you're just a bunch of numbers. And like someone like you're digging as management, you're digging yourself a deep hole, too deep of a hole. If David Gal fires me for condemning racists, I'll be able to hold my head up high. I'll be okay. I don't think that's going to happen though. I think I'll be all right.
Yeah,
but I appreciate your concern.
Yeah,
you're digging yourself a deep hole there, calling out racists. We don't like that. Okay, don't like it. Piss off.
Well said. And yeah, again, this is, people are really emotional right now. And we were talking about the Drew Brees thing yesterday. Was what he did pretty stupid? What he said stupid? Yeah. Was it tone deaf? Yeah. Does he suddenly become the worst human being on the planet because of it? To where people are running around the city saying bleep Drew Brees and burning his jerseys? We're overreacting to everything now because the whole world has gone to crap.
What I've said before, and that's the other thing on the other side of this coin that I hate, is the cancel culture, where if you say something that the woke people don't agree with, then now you're dead to them. Like, you're not allowed to have an opinion, which I understand, you know, if people don't like your opinion, that's fine. But is Drew Brees entitled to it? Absolutely. He's as entitled to his opinion about taking a knee as Colin Kaepernick is. You know, that's the way freedom of speech works. It can't be he's free to say this and he's not free. What is BS is like the lady, the chick from what's her name, Laura Ingramson or whatever, the one that told LeBron and KD to shut up and dribble, and then now she's saying, well, Drew Brees has a right to whatever opinion he has a right to say it out loud.
Like, can we not call that for what it is though?
That's playing it both ways. You can't do that. So,
but if you're supporting one person who's white and
right. Yeah. You want freedom of speech. Let's just call it what it is. And most people do want this. People want freedom of speech for the people who agree with them. When they're mad about freedom of speech, it's because they're saying something that makes you uncomfortable. That's really what it boils down to in this country. Everybody likes freedom of speech until it's something that they don't like hearing. Like, it almost always works that way. There's plenty of – and the people who are banging on Drew Brees about this and who were saying, well, Colin Kaepernick's got the right to do this, he does. Absolutely, Colin Kaepernick has the right to take a knee. Drew Brees absolutely has the right to say, I don't believe in taking a knee. And that's what I've been trying to say all this time. Like, freedom doesn't mean, you know, it's got to be one way or the other. Freedom means you got the freedom to choose whatever you feel like. If you feel this way, cool, feel that way. You feel this way, feel that way. As long as you realize that there are other people on the other side, and you're willing to give them that same space. The problem is most people aren't willing to give other people that same space.
Well, and I think we're judging too much from Twitter these days, which I think Twitter has become the worst. I really do. And it's become a home of blanket statements.
I like Instagram because it's a lot of dog pictures.
Well, that's all I do with
and
my
burrito
dog.
Plates. Like I
and women in bikinis.
Yeah, I love seeing your combo plates, like at Mexican restaurants. And it's way better for my mental health, to be honest.
Well, but I kind of feel like, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's if you just actually listen to the other person's perspective, you don't have to change your mind.
Yeah,
but you're not the most evil person in the world if you disagree. And I've been getting a bunch of that. It's like, well, you think this, so therefore you're a turd. No, I'm a turd because I forgot my wife's birthday. I'm not a turd because of this. And by the way, I took her out to a nice dinner at the Rustic last night, which was cool, and made up for it. But
damn, forgot her birthday for real?
Well, I don't.
Oh, the story is great.
Honest, I know her birthday. I know it's June 3rd.
You just didn't know June 3rd happened.
I did, yeah, and I knew it was coming up because as soon as it turned to June, I'm like, okay, yeah, her birthday's in a couple of days. I need to do something. And yesterday we're refinancing the house,
uh-huh.
And which I mentioned this. I didn't realize you had to go through and do the whole closing thing again for 30 minutes of signing stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so the lady came over to the house and we're signing all the stuff, and she's like, "Date it," and I'm like, "June 3rd, 2020, June 3rd." Oh, holy bleep!
Whoops.
Yeah, but I didn't try to play it off because I did that last year when I forgot. I just said, God, I forgot today was the 3rd. And so let's go to dinner wherever you want. And I got her a nice card and took her to dinner. And there wasn't too many people in there. And I miss, I kind of, the way, this kind of sucks. And I hate to say it because these restaurants are losing a bleep ton of money. But I don't mind the way it is right now where there's just not many people in there. And I feel pretty safe. So, although I saw Eric Sandler wrote about a couple restaurants where employees tested positive for the Rona.
Eef.
So anyway, hey, can we squeeze Nate on real quick? What's up, Nate?
Hey, you guys there?
Yes, sports.
Oh. So Fred, you know me. You've known me in passing over the last couple of years. Wasn't sure if you actually knew I was a cop for 4 years.
I think that came up over beers once or twice. Yes.
Yeah. So I've watched this, and I just can't completely condone anything about anything those officers did. The guy was in custody. He was in handcuffs. And just everything about that arrest just made me so sick and disgusted because just there was nothing. There was just nothing right about it. Him being on the pavement. Well, why wasn't he in the car? You know, why did they had him in custody? They had him in restraint. Get into the car. Get him out of there. He said he couldn't breathe. Once he's in your custody, you're responsible for his life. You're responsible, and that's why it's second degree murder. What they up those charges to? You're responsible for him.
What I think, I think we're right that there's nobody on either side who's like, you know what? Yeah, that cop was in the right. Like, even the most hardcore dudes, like I said, my brother-in-law, who's a super, super conservative dude, was like, yeah, that's pretty messed up, man. but it goes back to this. That's the other thing. And these cops, it looks like, you know, they're all going to jail. I really think where Minneapolis made their big mistake was not putting him in jail directly. Like, letting the cop go home that night.
Yeah.
And then surrounding his house with police officers, that was not a good look. That's not a good move.
No, it wasn't handled well.
Like, he should have never gone to his house, period. Like, they should have had him in some special cell. And, I mean, just and at least told the people, hey, he's in custody until we figure this thing out. And I want to get into this on the other side. The worst problem that police have going for them is like this union mentality where if one guy messes up, the brotherhood covers for him, because it takes, and I do believe that not all police are bad. I think that's a silly thought. If you think all police are bad, I think there are people who get into police to do good things for their community, because it's not like you make a bunch of money. But I also think there are people who get into police work because they got pushed around in high school, and maybe they were kind of a nerd.
I knew one of those guys that was I was in the school band with, and he was the guy that everybody picked on.
And the way
and the first thing he did was go to the police academy, right, and pulled my ass over one time and gave me a ticket.
Now I'm the big boss.
Yeah, just to let me know.
I think there is some of that. And what I want to get to on the other side is why the Army has it right. Like, the military has it right about this thing. And I know, like, Lamont, I know, is listening because he's been tweeting. But if you mess up in the Army, there's no covering up for it. There's no, like, there's no buddy system that gets you out of trouble. We'll get to it on the other side. It's Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
In the gym trying to work on my free throw. Down. Spending money.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back, winded from sprinting back in here.
Yeah, who are you jabbering up there with?
Jake and Tyler and Jason Braddock.
Okay.
I love Jason, but Jason and I always wind up talking too much on the breaks. That's when I wind up being late.
Let's take a call before I get into my dissertation here. Another dissertation. Let's talk to Jose. Hello, Jose. Sports.
Sports. Hey, I got a quick question. I do jiu-jitsu myself, and I'm sure you're familiar with the knee on belly.
Yeah.
What the guy literally did was just a knee on belly on the guy's neck. And as someone that does jiu-jitsu, I want to see what you would have done if you were put in that situation and you were there, either if you were on the ground or if you were there looking at the situation happen.
Well, I'll say that.
I'll shut up and listen.
That's the thing. I mean, jiu-jitsu doesn't, it's not really functional when you're handcuffed and belly down. And that's really the part that kind of grosses me out the most. There are situations where you can justify the use of force. Once a guy's handcuffed, once a guy's down on the ground, handcuffed, if you can't control that guy without putting your knee on his neck, you aren't cut out to be a cop. You're not man enough to be a cop, especially when there's two other guys holding him down. Like, you are not man enough to be a cop, or you're too scared to be a cop. And that's not, you know, I'm not making light of it. I really believe that if you cannot control a situation at that point, this, you're in the wrong line of work. That's all I can imagine. It's not going to work out for you long term. So you could say, like, what would you have done in that situation if you're on the ground? There's really nothing you can do once you're handcuffed on the ground like that. There's nothing he could have done, I don't think, to prevent dying. I think eventually that'll happen.
I have said all along, those other cops are just as culpable. At some point, AJ, if you and I are out somewhere and you get in a fight with a guy and you got him down on the ground and you're beating the life out of him, at some point I'm going to stop you. Because, dude, you're going to kill this guy. This is not good for you. It's not good for him. I don't care. I don't care about whatever code you got. At some point, you have to not just protect the other person, but your own guy.
Right.
This guy's going to, well, I hope he winds up in jail. You know, who knows how this is going to go. And people got mad and said, nobody did anything. I'm sorry. The guy ceased being a cop when he put his knee on the guy's neck for 5 minutes. Well, somebody
he's got his buddy there watching with a gun, and I mean, you're limited on what you can
go
really
yell
do.
At the other guys to do something. Go try to distract him to get him off him, and if it means you get arrested and go to jail, you know, sometimes you have to do something, man. Could you really, instead of just, oh, let's all stay here and record it? It's great that they did, but I'm sorry. I think at some point you have to step up, and somebody should have done something, man. You want to grab a couple of these guys?
Yeah. Let's talk to Orlando. Hello, Orlando.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, sir.
I've been a peace officer or police officer here in Houston. I don't want to say what agency for about 12 years now. What that officer or ex-officer did, he's a POS for that. Once you get somebody in custody and you get in handcuffs, just put them in the back of the car, and the problem's over with, and then you can deal with the people that are around you.
What's your move? Let me interrupt you real quick. What's your move when you've got a guy belly down and handcuffed? Like, don't you kind of just have to, like, take a knee next to him and use, like hold where his handcuffs are, like the small of his back? Because doesn't that prevent him from getting up just like that?
If he's already on his belly handcuffed,
why haven't you moved him to a car?
Pretty much. Just move him to a car because he's no longer a threat to you because he's handcuffed. So you just put him in the car and then you deal with the people around you. But at the same time, though, if he's trying to get up and, trying to still fight you, I would call the other officer, hey, help me out, pick him up, just put him in the car, and, he's no longer a threat in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And that's what he should have done. But like I said, the officer, I see it all the time. When I saw it with Ferguson and I saw it with this, I don't know. I feel like it's been, really, it to me, it's bigger than Ferguson now. And, I hate to watch the videos. And, and Monday, was it Monday morning, cornerback, another fellow brother. But at the same time, what he did was, that was a POS move. On the neck, come on, guy. Like, if he wasn't handcuffed, I could understand. But, no, he's handcuffed. Just put him in the car and we'll call it, and he's no longer a threat to you. But I say that to say this. Everyone that I dealt with or talked to, they want to tell a police officer what to do. You should have done this. You should have done that. You should have done this. Do you tell your doctor, hey, doc, I don't think my, that's what I have. I think you need to do this. Do another x-ray. Do you tell your dentist what tooth to pull? Do you tell your optometrist, hey, no, what you said is wrong. I think it's this. I don't know. It's just, I'm trying to vent. But, I'll hang up the list.
All right, man. Let's talk to Russ. Hey, Russ, what's up, sports?
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, what about, the Black Lives Matter movement and all that? What about this little black 24-year-old cop that just got killed? Where's the media attention on it?
I mean, I've seen it. I mean, listen. Nobody, and that's the other thing, but it's not going to take attention away from what happened like that. And that's what I know. That's what people want. They want, well, what about this? That's the problem is every time something, well, what about this that happened? What about this other messed up thing that happened? Like that somehow makes the original messed up thing okay. That's not how it works.
It's deflection and it's frustrating because people do that with everything. Well, what about this thing that this person did? That has nothing to do with the...
It's like dudes... it's like a husband getting caught cheating on his wife. And he's like, yeah, but what about that time when you mailed the cable bill in 2 weeks late? What about that? Like, you can't do that. Like, it doesn't... Sometimes you got to deal with the problem.
That's what people do.
And then move on to another problem.
But that's what people do.
What I was getting to before, and we'll take a few more calls on this. What I wanted to get to before was... And somebody already tweeted to me about it, kind of saying that it's not the same. Giants Bane said there have been countless incidents in the military that was covered up by the buddy system. Also, I knew a lot of NCOs that told me about some pretty bad racist incidents while enlisted. I was actually involved in a hate crime, a murder, when I was in the Army. I have told this story before, and it's pretty well documented. I did a A&E special on it. There's a made-for-TV movie about it that came on Showtime, where a gay guy in my unit got murdered, and they tried they weren't trying to save the dude who murdered. They were trying to cover up for their chain of command who had let this culture build. And eventually that got cracked down too. And all these guys got in trouble. My point is though, you go overseas, you go to Iraq, you go to Afghanistan and you've got orders, where you've got rules of engagement where you're, and oftentimes the rules of engagement don't even sound fair because they'll tell you, hey, you're not allowed to shoot unless you're shot at first. Not you're not allowed to shoot unless you see a gun. Like, they have to shoot bullets at you before you're allowed to engage, which sounds totally messed up, but that's how some units will be run. That's how some generals or whoever's making these things go. That's how they're run. If you shoot someone and it turns out they didn't have a gun, there's no like, oh, well, let's say that we heard gunshot. Like, no, you're court-martialed. There's no covering it up. There's no army union that will get you out of it. It's you are court-martialed and you go to federal military prison. End of discussion. That's just the way it works. And it's funny that, like, you know, unions are the, everybody talks about unions being this very, unions in 2020 is a very liberal thing. Like, most Republicans don't like unions. Cops, that's one union where no one seems to notice that it's going on. Like, that's a big deal. And Aaron, we talked during the break about how, you know, they probably, I don't know what the fallback would have been had they put that cop straight into jail that night, but there may have been some union blowback about it. I don't know how the cop union works. I know they're very powerful, though. And it is very hard. And God, they get the best lawyers. I mean, it's really an uphill battle to convict a cop of doing a bad job. Not that it should be easy, but I mean, like, this is a situation, and there's been plenty of situations before where there's pretty clear and present evidence. All right, well, there's a lot of calls. We got to hit a break. It's what we in the business call the top of the hour.
Yeah, just stick around. We'll get to you guys, I promise.
I got to tell you about TGS Insurance, one of the fastest growing insurance agencies in the entire state of Texas. And you're saying, well, why are they growing so fast? Well, because they're doing something really smart. You don't have to go into your insurance office and talk to an agent about your home insurance. Nope, you don't really have to talk to anybody. You just have to send a text. You grab your phone, you text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back. Full quote, proposal, excellent coverage, 15 seconds. That's why they're popular. It's a legit company, legit savings. They've got a nearly perfect online rating with over 1,000 reviews, and the average customer saving nearly $900 a year. I saved over $1,000 a year, and I actually saved more than that because I had two houses. I've got two houses, and I changed my insurance on both of them, and I saved money on both of them. Well, if you've got too much money, you don't need to listen to me, but if you could use some and you own your home, send that text to TGS. They're open now. Text money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames.
ESPN 97.5.